Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. If you're looking for a place to tailgate on Friday night, prior to Michigan State, 409 Tailgate Club has the answer for you at the GoPSURV.com lot in Bellefonte, anytime from 6 to 10 p.m. Tailgate under the pavilion. Bring $15 with you. Get a pulled pork or a kielbasa sandwich aside and a glass of wine or a frozen drink from the wonderful 409 Tailgate Club selection. That's tailgate under the pavilion at the GoPSURV.com lot. You can get more information at tailgatewine.com. Greg Pickle here, Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are looking around the country, around the Big Ten, framing this weekend where there were quite a few upsets and a lot of chaos from a Penn State angle. And first and foremost, you know that Penn State went into the weekend sitting at number 11. I think of both in AP and coaches.
Correct.
Right? They move up to number 8, even though they're on a bye, because number 5, LSU, number 7, Oklahoma, and number 8, Auburn, all lost. So they move up in the rankings. So just start with that, Greg. A little bit of chaos goes a long way for Penn State. And I think it hits home again that Penn State, you know, when it comes to the big college football playoff picture, the what everybody wants, they're not out of it yet.
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing to me was is that teams that were going to probably be on the one loss bubble with Penn State now have a, you know, their resume does not look quite as good. I mean, look. Oklahoma loses to Texas at home. Texas is not a one-loss team, but are they going to stay a one-loss team? I don't know. I mean, don't they feel like they lose to Maryland? I feel like that disqualifies them from the conversation anyway, but they have to go to Oklahoma State still. They have to go to Texas Tech. They play West Virginia, which will be a slugfest. I mean, I don't know if they stay a one-loss team. I think it's more likely that Oklahoma goes through the rest of the year as a one-loss team into this Texas. But, you know, so Texas loses two or three. You know, if Texas loses again, that makes Oklahoma's one loss look even worse. So, I mean, of the one-loss teams, I think Penn State probably sits in the best shape. Okay, so LSU has one loss, but it's to Florida. I don't think that Florida – it was a heck of a win for Florida. That was a great game. I watched all of it. But I don't think that Florida team's going to go undefeated the rest of the way, too. You know, you look at the fact that LSU sort of turned into, I think, what most people thought they were. I think they probably had another loss on the schedule. But, you know, could Florida go all the way undefeated? Sure. I mean, they'd have to beat Georgia, but it's at home, so who knows. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia, but if they do, the rest of the schedule is pretty much a cakewalk. So, you know, there are some interesting one-loss teams out there, but to me, I just think that it's hard to say any of them have a better resume than Penn State at this moment in time as we talk about it in early October. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that's going to make it interesting this year is that barring some kind of crazy major upset, Notre Dame has pretty much punched its ticket to the college football playoff. The only team I think it could lose to is USC, and USC has not exactly looked like a world beater this year. So that's going to change the narratives a little bit in terms of, you know, will one, you know, who's the Power 5 conference champ that gets left out because Notre Dame gets him.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation before. By the way, Notre Dame's losing a game. I would bet money on that.
It's like
if I had any money whatsoever, I would bet it.
Not to get into this part of the segment before we get to that part of the segment, but they have a very Pat Fitzgerald Northwestern feel to them, don't they?
How do you know we're going to get into Pat Fitzgerald?
I just have a feeling.
Yeah, we totally are.
You know, it's just one of those things where, and you know what? I think Notre Dame actually, to me, I don't know if they are going to lose a game. I mean, but this team looks better than the ones, but probably Northwestern.
Pitt.
The fighting Narduzzi's. That was a heck of a win. I knew that Syracuse quarterback was going to throw an interception. I was certain of it. And first play, threw up a duck, interception, and that was that. Probably good for Penn State, though. It makes their, you know, opponent win-loss record a little bit better. But, yeah, I think Northwestern maybe gets Notre Dame. Somebody will probably get them. Somebody always does. But that's a good football team there that also won again on Saturday. On Saturday.
So, I think what you have here, you have Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson. Those are the teams that are in until they play themselves out. And I think all four of those teams, of course, depending on timing and severity, if any of those four teams lose, they all four have a shot to be ahead of Penn State in terms of best one-loss teams.
Right.
Again, it kind of depends if they get blown out, if they don't get blown out, whatever. But all four of those teams are viewed, I'm sure, by the committee as head and shoulders above the rest.
Right.
So the quality of those teams will kind of out. But otherwise, if Penn State is going to have the best loss of the one-loss teams, again, if they make their way down the road. West Virginia is sitting there unbeaten. I have a hard time believing that they finish the year unbeaten. I think that the Big 12, there's a chance that they all beat each other up and, you know, nobody from the Big 12 gets in. Notre Dame, you know, so you look at Pitt. So let's start with Notre Dame. They survived Blacksburg. They beat Virginia Tech. You know, Virginia Tech with that backup quarterback of theirs, I think if they have their starter that they may have a chance to win that game. But that's neither here nor there. Pitt beat Penn State in 2016, before Penn State was the current version of itself. Also beat Clemson that year. Last year, they beat Miami late, who was ranked number two at the time. They have this spoiler role kind of down pat.
They do.
And I would never bet money on Pitt beating.
Does it change your mind, though, that it's on the road instead of at home? So it's at Notre Dame, that game.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. I think.
Oh, it's this weekend. I didn't even realize
that. Yeah, it's this weekend coming up.
What a timely conversation. A weird 2:30 start time. That's odd.
I feel like teams and conferences have these personalities that they just don't really shake. So, right. Like the SEC, for example, everybody but Alabama is just beating themselves up.
Right.
You know, LSU.
There were two people that didn't vote Alabama first place in the AP Top 25 poll, and I think they should probably have their vote, you know.
So here's the criticism.
That just.
We're trying to cover a lot of ground here, but here's the criticism. Alabama just hasn't beaten anybody.
True.
And I forget, this was a talking point early in the season that Alabama gets anointed and it doesn't matter what they do on the field. These teams have better resumes and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, if you want to be better than Alabama, like, I don't care who Alabama's beaten. You have to prove yourselves beyond your resume to be better than Alabama. I don't have any problem with that. I don't get, you know, to say Ohio State and Clemson are better than Alabama. I just don't know how you can draw that conclusion.
You nor I. After that mighty win over Indiana.
But, yeah, I think Notre Dame is the fly in the ointment, as they are. But this wouldn't be the first time, as we sit here in the middle of the season, that Notre Dame could be. The rest of their season looks like a cakewalk, but they're losing a game. I don't know if it's this weekend. The fact that they're playing at home, maybe. USC going across the country, maybe USC finds itself. They're losing a game. I think they're going to play themselves out. But in the end, I mean, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson – there's a good chance that nobody cracks that top four.
Agreed.
Just looking at results from this past weekend outside of that, Ohio State, a little sluggish. They surge past Indiana. They have to do that late. Dwayne Haskins, 455 and 6 touchdowns. Making plays down the field, something you didn't see him do against Penn State. He was doing it against Indiana. A good benchmark type game for if you're scouting ahead to Indiana for Penn State. Northwestern beats Michigan State. I think 29-19 was the final score there. And this, to me, is why Northwestern is bad for the Big Ten. They're never going to be good enough to really be a factor, but they're always going to be good enough to spoil the resume of somebody else.
Agreed.
It's what they do every single year. It hurts Penn State now from a strength of schedule standpoint. It knocks Michigan State out of the top 25 rankings just in time for them to come to Happy Valley. It makes their – and I think we've seen over time that can be meaningful in the long run is that Michigan State won't be ranked at the time where Penn State – you know, fans hope that they beat them. So not a good thing for anybody. To circle back on Notre Dame's schedule, by the way, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, USC. That's the schedule.
All right, then.
So yeah, doesn't look good on paper. Somebody's beating them.
Okay.
Somebody's beating them. You mentioned the Red River Showdown. Oklahoma losing to Texas 48-45 is the final score there. Oklahoma down 45-24 in the fourth. They come surging all the way back. An impressive run there to tie the game up, and then Texas marches down. Momentum completely working against them, and they put together a game winning drive. Cameron Dicker 40-yard field goal to win the game. An unbelievable game. And I think this fits into, I mentioned the personalities, the Big 12 personality. These shootouts and stuff, you know, I'm not sure if anybody can survive all that. I'm also not sure if West Virginia doesn't finish the year undefeated, I'm not sure the Big 12 gets in the playoff.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at West Virginia now moving forward. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I've always there are a lot of people that are much higher on West Virginia than I'm, Will Grier, for that matter, than I am. He was not impressive. A 38-22 win over Kansas, that game that almost at times felt like they were going to lose. I mean, if Kansas wasn't so impossibly inept, they probably would have lost. I mean, Will Grier was terrible in that game. You look at the rest of their schedule. They got to go to Texas. They got to play Oklahoma in the final game of the year, and they have to go to Oklahoma State, which I know they're not very good, but it's still a road game in the Big 12. And you're right. I mean, they have to, you know, it's very difficult to see West Virginia winning out. And you're right. If they don't win out, then which one of these Big 12 teams is going to the college football playoff? I think the answer would be none. And it might be even if West Virginia does win out. That could still be the case.
It could be, depending on how that top four unfolds. I just feel like we've seen West Virginia in this boat before, too, where they've made this spirited running in the early part of the year, and it kind of falls apart on them. We'll see. You mentioned Alabama. Nick Saban is upset about Alabama's defense. They beat Arkansas 65-31.
He's always upset about something.
But here, it's so funny because he's playing this game in the media, really, where he's trying to create these critiques to fuel his team. And at the end of the day, until you play somebody and beat somebody or lose to somebody, you're really not going to be sure where you stand on these issues. He can complain. And really, I think he had a point. So they allowed 22 first downs, 405 total yards, 5.5 yards per carry against Arkansas.
Right.
It's tough because they jump out to a big lead. And that's what they've been doing all year long. It'll be interesting to see going forward whether it's a game that Alabama should win big or whatever. What if they get smacked in the mouth early?
Right.
What if they're down 21-10 or something in the second quarter, what's the response? I suspect it'll be fine.
Right, but it's an interesting question. I mean, you just don't know, because you're right. I mean, until you've actually faced a situation like that, you're just never going to know what exactly it is that you're going up against and what exactly it is that you have. So, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. It'll be interesting for sure.
Joe Moorhead, Mississippi State, I think a little bit of a favor to Penn State, beating Auburn, and another example of the SEC beating each other up. LSU losing to Florida is another example of that. Nick Fitzgerald, I think you said something about making the comparison between Fitzgerald and McSorley. Fitzgerald, 195 yards rushing and two touchdowns. He broke the SEC quarterback rushing record in that game. But he was the only source of offense for Moorhead. He's working with an offense there that isn't quite where he needs it to be.
Right.
But they win a big game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, the fact that Nick Fitzgerald is 9-17 for 69 yards, I get all that, but good Lord, throw it down the field a couple of times. I mean, it was almost consistently.
He's not a good thrower.
I think he's better than what – that offense isn't going to work if it's 9-17. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, he's not going to run for $1.95 every week. All right, we got one more quarter to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Take a Stand, where the game is always rigged in Greg's favor, is coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.